Right now it is time for Dr. Judy Workman. It's time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, Simon Loses His Tummy, and also her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the doctor this morning. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, good morning. You both sound very cheerful this morning.
You're supposed to say the doctor is in.
The doctor is in, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about a very interesting study that I came across this past week, really rather astonishing in its simplicity, but it may actually answer some of the questions that people like you and I, Jill, have been thinking about for the last couple of years, and that is whether people should avoid eating carbohydrates in order to lose weight. You know, we had a little discussion about this just through our email correspondence. But just to set sort of a background, you know, as we've just talked about in the past, there have been these two schools of thought in terms of weight loss. One is you should just eat, you know, normal foods, but less of it, and try to cut back on the calories contributed by foods that really are loosely classified as junk. But, you know, you have lots of vegetables, fruits, you know, some starchy carbohydrates, and the amount of protein that you should be eating, but no more than that. And the other school of thought says, no. You have to cut out carbohydrates, and you really should be eating mainly protein and fat. And if there are any vegetables, they should be very, very low carbohydrate vegetables, you know, like lettuce or celery, something like that, not carrots because they're too high in carbohydrate. Why? Because when you eat carbohydrate, your body produces insulin. You know, if you didn't, you'd be dead. And what the insulin does is convert the what the insulin does is take the digested carbohydrate, which is a sugar called glucose, and stuffs it into the cells, and also stuffs amino acids into the cells. But the point is that after you eat, insulin levels go up to take care of that carbohydrate, and a couple of hours later, insulin levels fall because they have nothing to do. There's no carbohydrate coming into the body. And the theory is, well, these changes in insulin levels, these changes in the glucose in the blood cause you to become hungry, cause you to eat and overeat all sorts of carbohydrate foods like cookies and potato chips. And if you simply don't eat any carbohydrates at all, your hunger will go away because there won't be any insulin. And beside, the good news is, they go on to say, that without having any carbohydrate that's being stuffed into your cells, your body will stop making fat. Wow. I mean, like a small miracle. Okay, and that is the theory behind eating a very low-carbohydrate diet. So these researchers, the lead researcher's name is Kevin Hall, actually had a correspondence with him, at the NIH decided to see, is it really true? I mean, do people who don't eat carbohydrate really have less hunger and perhaps even less fat being stored than people who eat a normal diet? And they took people who were not thin, but let's say moderately overweight, and they said nothing at all about diet. Oh, we're just bringing you into this research facility. We just want to see how people eat. And here we're giving you two diets. One diet you try for 2 weeks, another, then you switch over to the other diet. And you eat as much as you want, as little as you want. We just will weigh what you eat after you leave the table. And for 2 weeks, they were given a very high carb, I mean, a regular carbohydrate diet, but basically a normal, you know, relatively moderate protein intake. And the other 2 weeks, they were given no carbohydrates at all and a lot of protein and fat. Mostly fat. And what they found, to their astonishment, was that there really wasn't any difference in hunger between the two groups. So this whole theory about not eating carbohydrates will prevent you from getting hungry was simply not seen at all. The people who are on the high normal carbohydrate diet lost more weight than the people, even though nobody was really trying to lose weight, even though more than the people on the protein diet, and they actually had less fat. So it was a simple experiment. You know, it doesn't tell what happens if you follow a diet for several months or a year or something. But it does answer some of these questions that always start with, well, I believe that this is how it works, because what they did was try to put some facts and evidence behind those words.
No, not facts and evidence. What would we want that for?
Exactly. I mean, it really is very disturbing when you find that your nutritional beliefs may be challenged. And I'm not saying, and this is, I want to make this perfectly clear, if a diet works, stick with it. And if it works to maintain your weight loss, stick with it like glue, because, you know, it's really what happens after you finish a diet that really causes the most despair in a way, because then you might gain back your weight, as many people can attest to. And so if you find that following a diet gets you to lose 100 pounds, and when you get off the diet, you keep that 100 pounds off, really, the accolades to you, congratulations, and this will make your life a healthier one. And some and if this is what you have to do in order to keep your weight off, just do it. And if it's exercise, whatever the diet plan is, follow it. But if you find that, you know, the diet isn't working that well, or it's causing you all sorts of fantasies about what I'm going to eat when I finish this diet, like I'm not eating any carbohydrate, but boy, am I going to have a hot fudge sundae after I finish the diet, then maybe that's not the diet for you. If it sets up cravings that you're not going to be able to meet and continue to maintain a weight loss, it's something that you really have to consider. And one of the problems with people going on a low-carbohydrate diet is that the body really doesn't like being deprived of things that the body normally eats and or gets into it, the body. And, you know, we have, as human beings, as we evolved, always lived on carbohydrates. So I think it's really hard for people who go on one of these low-carbohydrate diets for months and months and months to make a transition back to eating lots of fruits and vegetables, which have carbohydrate, and less fat, and more, you know, foods that contain just carbohydrates. And that's where the problem can start. But in the meanwhile, if it works, you know, the takeaway message is continue on your diet, but don't make up special theories saying why it should work, like, you know, this diet can take away hunger when it really doesn't.
No, absolutely. There is a new adjustment in veterinary medicine. However, that has come about over the years, and that is if, for example, a dog has a simple cystitis, a simple bacterial cystitis, only get antibiotics for a. It used to be back in the day when I started this, if you got antibiotics, it was a 14-day course of antibiotics, period.
Right.
And now it's, well, you might be able to deal with this if it's simple and there's no underlying. And I'm being really specific about that in between 3 and 7 days.
Right.
And I remember debating, irritating my various veterinary practitioners by saying, you know, can't we stop this? Oh, no, you have to finish. Right. And the only reason I am mentioning it is because bodies are unique. Your body's your body. And with diets, et cetera, that are out there, especially when they're not based on, fundamental research, but rather, you know, somebody who's, you never know if they're a scam or not until you've done it. Some things that absolutely work for some people don't necessarily work for other people. And
absolutely. I mean, look, we do this with chemotherapy, personalized chemotherapy. You're absolutely right. But I don't want somebody coming up to say to me, no, you shouldn't be eating that. Put away that potato because it's going to cause you to get fat and it's going to cause you to be hungry all the time. Don't tell me that unless you really have the facts to support it, any more than I guess I should say to somebody, oh, stop eating that hunk of bacon fat because you may die of a coronary. You know, unless I know that's going to be the case, I shouldn't be saying that to somebody who's eating, you know, bacon wrapped around cream cheese. You know, I don't know what that, you know, particular diet is going to do to that person, but I have no more right to say to that person, oh, I know it's going to make your brain mushy, or I know it's going to cause you to have these terrible fluctuations in insulin, what have you, when the facts are different. And I think one has to respect the fact that there are facts that say your beliefs may not be backed up by evidence. So if you want to believe it, fine, but don't try to impose your dietary beliefs on me by telling me I shouldn't be eating such and such. The only thing that we do know is that you should be eating foods that have nutrients, vitamins, minerals, protein. You should be drinking water. You should be having fiber. These are things that have been known for, I don't know, thousands and thousands of years. And once you really begin to muck around with that and say, well, I don't need any water, or I don't need any calcium, or I don't need any vitamin A, then you may be running into problems called malnutrition. But that's another whole topic altogether.
Yes, a different story for a different day. But exactly. Again, just there's a lot in this that needs to actually be teased apart. And if you are trying to healthily modify your weight, then it's worth getting into, I would say.
You know, again, if it really works, and I guess, you know, Marshall is this prime example of somebody who has really worked out a system that works with his body, his time schedule, his sleeping, his waking, his exercise, whatever, his lifestyle, I guess you could put it. And the point is, it works for him. Could somebody else with a different lifestyle do the same thing? Maybe, but maybe not, or maybe after a lot of coaching. But the one thing about Marshall's diet, which I applaud, is that it seamlessly transitions into a diet for life, which is something you're always talking about, Jill. You know, there shouldn't be this, you know, one side of the wall is the diet you're following to lose weight, and the other side of the wall is the diet you're going to follow once you lose the weight. And sometimes that wall is totally different. And I think that one of the things that we should really recognize is that people should follow what they're really going to do so that their weight loss is going to be, you know, stable after they're finished with it. And I think both the people you told me about on the an email are good examples of that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, yeah. Dr. Judy Wertman. Food
You're
for
welcome.
Mood.
Bye-bye.
Food for mood.
Food for mood.
Judy, of course, can be found here on Thursday mornings and also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman.